What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Plant the Spear podcast. I'm your host, Jesse, and welcome to the show. Well, unfortunately, I guess every good thing has to come to an end at some point. Florida State loses at home to Wake Forest 31-21 in a little bit of a disappointing loss. I mean, of course, every loss is disappointing, but I think this one hurt a little bit more because you knew Florida State, if they came out and they played well, even despite some injuries, which I think we're seeing that are way more detrimental than maybe we thought initially, you thought they still could have won this game. But at the end of the day, they're still 4-1. I mean, a lot of us predicted them to finish 8-4 towards the end of the season, which we thought would be a good record, and so they're still on pace for that. I mean, they're still 4-1. There's still a lot of games left. There's still a lot of winnable games left, and they have a lot of things still in front of them that they can compete for and put together a successful season. So with that being said, I wasn't able to do an instant reaction, so this will basically be a kind of thoughts on the Wake Forest game and a few thoughts on the program and some of the things that are part of the – that we're just going to have to address real quick, you know, just going through the rest of the season and that are going to affect this team. And then we'll look a little bit at NC State, but I'm going to have a full game preview coming up for you guys, so be on the lookout for that. But that won't be this episode, but we'll still talk about them a little bit. So just getting right into it, if you follow me on Twitter, and I do encourage you to because – that's where I'm most active at, and I posted something on Sunday, a pretty long thread called, it was titled Sunday Thoughts, and it just laid out a lot of my thoughts after seeing some negativity, seeing some pitchforks come out. You know, people are already ready to move on from Fuller, and they're tired of Norvell, and, you know, whatever the case may be, whatever. And I know this was a small vocal minority in the fan base, which is, you know, it's a strange corner of the fan base that it's like they root for something bad to happen so they can just have something to complain about. And, you know, I totally understand. Anytime you expect some kind of rational response on social media, it's a losing game because you're never going to get it. But at the end of the day, my whole point of it was you have to provide some context to where we're at right now. And I think a big problem was when people saw 4-0, they kind of moved, they raised the bar of expectation. And I did myself too. Like, I went from 8-4 to, okay, every game on this schedule is winnable, which I thought that in the preseason, but I also said, like, you're going to have an off week. It's going to happen. Every team has an off week. And there will be some injuries, and you have to account for those things, which is why when I said, I think every game is winnable, but they're probably going to finish 8-4 because that's part of football. And, you know, it's not looking for any moral victories, and it's not making any excuses because every team has to deal with injuries. Every team has to deal with off weeks. But right now, where you're at, you picked a really bad time to have it. You know, I think if Florida State played the game that they played Saturday against Boston College, they still probably win that game. You know, you still probably beat Georgia Tech, even though, hey, who knows what's going on with Georgia Tech? They just beat Pitt. But, you know, you still probably are able to overcome that. And that was another point that I was trying to make in that thread was the depth at Florida State and the level of talent, the floor of the talent level has been raised a good bit. It's been raised to the point where now you can beat bad conference teams with a lot of your impact guys out. But when you look at, you know, playing a top 25 team, playing a good team in Wake Forest, and you don't have some of your key pieces and you play a sloppy game, which was the one thing we said they really could not afford to do in the preview last week. You know, we had mentioned Wake doesn't have a lot of penalties. Wake doesn't, you know, they don't have a lot of turnovers. They play good, smart football, and you have to beat them at kind of their own game. And they didn't. You know, they only had 4 penalties. They didn't have any turnovers. Now, I don't know, you know, I'm not trying to make an excuse, but you know we play in the ACC, and you know that stands for another crappy call for a reason, but there were a good number of holding calls that got missed for the team in black and gold and not the team in garnet and gold. So, you know, that's something that is an issue, but you can't use it as an excuse because it easily could have went the other way. And, of course, it didn't. But, you know, just looking at the first point that I was trying to make was, let's look at Wake Forest first. Like, they are a good team. And you have teams like Wake Forest, NC State, and Clemson in the Atlantic, in your division, and thankfully we're doing away with divisions next year, that are peaking right now as a program. They are at their highest level that they've been in pretty much in history. Now, I know Wake has won some ACC titles in the past, and Clemson's, you know, they have an old national championship, but this is the best they've ever been, which makes it harder for a team like Florida State, who's at the lowest point they've ever been, trying to get back to that stage. You're playing teams who are at their peak, and that makes it hard. It also makes it harder for you to not be successful when you're watching the other teams in your division do the same thing that you're trying to do. So that makes it harder. But again, you're looking at a team here in Wake Forest who won 11 games last year. They won the Atlantic. They played for the ACC championship. They returned 80% of their production, including a fifth-year senior quarterback who's thrown for over 10,000 yards. I mean, they have guys. Like, they may not be in like high in the recruiting rankings every year, but they just took Clemson to double overtime. And I guarantee you, if you compare the recruiting list or the recruiting classes for Clemson and Wake Forest, you know, if you covered up both teams and just said, here's how much talent you have on one and here's the other, you would expect that to be a blowout. But they were able to take them to double overtime, so they are a good team. Now, I know a lot of that, they run that goofy slow mesh offense, which thank goodness we don't have to see anymore this year, but they run it effectively. And sometimes when you are outmanned and outgunned and you don't have the talent, you have to do something to give yourself a competitive advantage. Hence why Georgia Tech ran the triple option for so long. You have to find a way to hide talent deficiencies. And so if you run kind of a gimmicky offense and, you know, where a team can't run their typical defense, like, no one prepares for the triple option unless they have Georgia Tech on the schedule. So, you know, no one prepares for a slow mesh offense unless you have Wake on the schedule. And it's still hard to defend because it's not something you're used to. It's something you have to play differently than other offenses. And luckily, the next two teams you play are a more traditional offense, so I think you'll have a little better showing for them. But to me, I mean, you watched the defense, and it wasn't a great game on that side of the ball, but you did hold them to the least amount of points that they scored all season. You did hold Sam Hartman for under 300 yards passing for the first time this year. You also only scored 21 points, which you know is not good enough to beat Wake, because you also, on the flip side of that coin, you were held to the lowest amount of points that an opposing team has scored this season. Vanderbilt put up 25. Liberty put up 36. Clemson put up 51. So, you know, I mean, you needed a better showing from your offense. And to me, the most surprising thing of this whole game was Florida State losing the battle in the trenches on both sides of the ball. I kind of figured that that they were going to have some trouble getting pressure just based solely on the guys that you're missing. And we'll touch on that in 1 second. But I didn't expect the offensive line to have the bad day that they did against this level of defense, which does make you concerned going forward, because the next two defensive lines you're going to play are a lot more talented than this one. But the point being, you know, Wake is a good team. They are a solid program. They're probably going to win 10 games this year. They're going to compete for the Atlantic. And, you know, these guys are like, Sam Hartman is eventually going to run out of eligibility. They're not going to have fifth and sixth year guys forever. Those guys have to leave at some point, and those teams may come back to earth. NC State's the same way. They have a lot of veteran guys that eventually have to leave. Florida State is a relatively young team in the middle of a rebuild, and you're missing a lot of your impact players. You played a terrible game, and you still had an opportunity to win late, which I think says something about this team. It says something about the talent level that they do have. It says something about the fight that they play with. And it says that they have the ability to be in these games, you know, even if you play bad. And you just don't have enough to overcome a bad game yet in your depth level. And a perfect example, you know, when I say every team has an off week, look at Georgia, the number one team in the country. They found themselves in a one-score game with Kent State last week. They found themselves with almost down at halftime to Missouri. Neither of those teams had business being that close in that game. And I'm sure Georgia probably was sitting there thinking, well, what are we doing in it? What are we doing? We're playing like crap. I mean, I don't know what else to say. But, you know, if you have a team that has probably more 5-stars on the bench than Florida State has on its rosters or on its roster, and then you're in a game with a team like Kent State or Missouri, it can certainly happen to Florida State. The difference is Georgia still is so supremely talented right now, even depth-wise, that they're able to overcome having a bad game against an inferior opponent. And Florida State had a bad game against a quality opponent. And so, you know, it's you had a bad week at the wrong time. You picked a really bad week to do it. Like I said, if you'd had this, If you'd had this week last week against Boston College, you'd probably still win that game. But this just wasn't the case. And, you know, this is something that they can recover from, obviously. They can rebound from this. I mean, look at the team you just lost to. They had a disappointing loss at home to a ranked opponent. They went on the road the next week and got a ranked win. So there's nothing saying that Florida State can't do exactly what Wake Forest did. You have a disappointing loss at home, and then you go on the road, and you just get a redemption win. But realistically, like I said, I think the whole overarching point of my thread that I posted on Twitter that I was talking about was just the fact that if we all kind of agreed that they would finish 8-4, even 7-5, and that was a successful season, I mean, they have to lose eventually. You know, they got to lose one game. If they're going to lose 4 or 5, it's going to happen eventually. And when we predicted that record, that was, like we said, that's with Fabian Lovett. That's with Jared Verse. That's with a healthy offensive line. That's with a kicker that you think can make field goals and extra points. And now that you have almost none of that, it's not an excuse. It's not looking for a moral victory, like I said, because everyone has to deal with that. But it does move the needle of expectations. If Florida State was at 100% and healthy, you probably feel a lot better about your chances in that game, but they're not. So, you know, like I said, when you have this many injuries at key positions and when the depth behind them is a major drop-off, it hurts. And like, people, you know, I just feel bad because everybody was like, oh, you're making excuses and whatnot. And no, I'm not. That's not my intention. And I'm not trying to sound negative either. But, you know, if you take some of the best players off any team, it's going to change the outcome of the season. It's going to change the outcome of some games. And that's what we're seeing happen right now at Florida State, because when they played Louisville and you didn't have Fabian Lovett and Jared Verse went out, you saw the inability to create pressure and you were kind of concerned about it. But, you know, I personally thought, well, this game won with some new guys having to be forced into a role that they weren't probably prepared to play yet. But you would hope that maybe they could get better before. You're just not getting a lot out of the guys on your defensive line right now, which is, it's, you know, to be fair, it's a bit of a problem, especially going forward. So, I mean, when you look, for instance, talking about injuries, look at the impact that Jared Verse had when he was able to go. And, like, man, he gave it his all. And you have to just love a guy like that who's willing to play hurt to help his team. But he only plays 23 snaps on the game, and he has 3 pressures and 1 sack. Well, then you go down here to Malcolm Ray, who had 43 snaps, and he had 2 pressures and no sacks. You have Robert Cooper, who played 60 snaps. He had 1 pressure, no sacks. You have Jarrett Jackson, 28 snaps, basically the same as Jared Verse. No pressures, no sacks, no tackles. So, again, like, you're not getting a lot from a lot of your guys. Derek McClendon, 51 snaps, 1 pressure, no sacks. So, you know, I mean, these are losses that are hard to overcome when you have some of your depth guys that just aren't able to win one-on-one battles. And I know there's some talk about the game plan and with Fuller and Norvell and some of the things they do. And I understand being critical of them too. I do. I mean, I think that they were more aggressive in the second half, and I think they should have not waited that long. It was like maybe they were trying to play some gap control in the first half instead of just being very aggressive, and it didn't work and they switched, but the hole was already dug too deep. So of course there's some things that you can be critical of on offense. You have a 6'7" unstoppable threat that it's almost like they don't know they can use it in certain situations, and it continues to baffle my mind. There's some things that obviously, like, they're not perfect either, but at the same time, there was a lot of missed tackles in this game. There was a lot of blown assignments up front on the offensive line. There's some things that, like, that's not coaching. They're not telling Fitzgerald to miss kicks. They're not telling these guys to miss tackles. They're not telling these defensive linemen to go in there and get stymied by an offensive line and not create pressure. That's not what they're coaching them to do. And so at the end of the day, you can have the best scheme. You can have the best play calling. You can have Nick Saban himself coaching your defense. If the guys in the game can't go out and win one-on-one battles, there's nothing they can do about that. And so, I mean, again, you still have, like, at that point, you have to pick your poison a little bit. You know, you got to start bringing some people on pressure, and they did. But then you're asking for trouble against a quarterback like Sam Hartman. So, I mean, like I said, it wasn't all bad. I mean, you saw some good things on punt return. You saw some good things from Micah Pittman and your receivers. You saw some nice runs by the backs. But you know, it was kind of here and there. And with your run plays, like they would break one, but not really do a whole lot, like on the ground. It wasn't like they were moving the chains and keeping drives going. So you just put yourself in a tough situation. They weren't very good on third down. And, you know, you got held to a lot less yards than you thought. Like we said, you saw where Clemson put up 559 yards on this defense last week on the road, and you played a similar defense in Boston College and put up 530 yards. Well, then you come out this week, and you only put up 393, so less than 400 yards. So, you know, again, it was more of a kind of a struggle from your offense. Jordan didn't really look healthy, but he didn't look in rhythm. He didn't look in sync. This was, you know, he still had a pretty good day stat-wise passing, but – you know, it just didn't, the offense didn't amount to much, which was troublesome. But you also had a lot of drive killing penalties. And again, look at the one on Darius Washington towards the end. You get the ball first and goal on the 4-yard line going in to, you know, give yourself a real chance to win this game. And you get a holding call that backs you up to fourth and long. You already know you can't kick a field goal because that's out. And so you can't afford to do those things against a quality team, is my whole point. And, you know, I don't think anyone expected Florida State to go undefeated. I think everyone kind of figured 8-4 to 7-5, and they're still on pace for that. They can still win a lot of games. They can still rebound. Who knows? They could go 11-1. I mean, it's probably not going to happen, but, you know, you need to get some of the guys back. I'll say that. And you do have some instances where some guys aren't what you thought they were going to be. I mean, you had Amarion Cooper kind of get benched in that game because he's just not been himself. And that was the guy you were relying on. And now you've seen Azaria Thomas. He got 33 snaps in that game, where Amarion Cooper got 43. So he's kind of, you know, when you're getting replaced by a freshman, it's not what you expected to happen. And to be fair, Azaria Thomas is a very good freshman. And in my opinion, I think by the time you see Georgia Tech after the bye week, he might be your starter. And you know, I'm okay with that, because you can grow with a guy who's that talented and that has that high end of a ceiling. But, you know, like we said, the depth and the talent level has been raised. But when you have an off week and you're missing a lot of your impact players against a quality team, then it's going to be hard to overcome those mistakes. And it just was too much for Florida State right now. And, you know, again, I think I got excited when I saw 4-0, like a lot of people. I thought we raised the expectations, because when you look at my preseason prediction, which you can, you know, you can find that on our website or a podcast, that episode, but I predicted Florida State to go 4-0, and then I predicted them this to be their first loss if Hartman was back with at least one game to get in rhythm, and he was. So I changed my prediction because of the way Florida State had played. But if we're real with ourselves and we take the garnet and gold glasses off, you beat one quality team in LSU. You got them in the first game of the season, and you beat them by 1 point. Of course, it should have been worse, but it wasn't. But you didn't, like, Louisville is not great. You beat them in an impressive win because of how you won the game, what you had to overcome to win the game, not who you beat, because they just lost to Boston College, a team you beat by 30 points. So, you know, which brings me to Boston College. They're not a good team by any means. So this was the toughest team that you have probably played. And I think, obviously, LSU is a more talented team, but Wake Forest is more... they're a more experienced team who had it together. Because I even said with LSU, like, if you played them in November, I might would pick LSU because they would be in rhythm by then. You caught them at a good time. So that's not, you know, that's not to diss on Florida State's record. And by all means, I'm not trying to be negative here at all. This is just real talk. You know what I mean? Like I always tell you guys, I'm going to be extremely positive. And, you know, my thumbs are probably going to be on the injured reserve list this week, because I can't even tell you how many hours I spent defending FSU and stuff like that on social media, because I'm still bullish on this team. I still believe in this team. But you have to, like we talked about, you have to move the needle of expectation when you're missing some of your best players. And that's just the way it is. So, you know, again, like I said, they can certainly rebound from this. We just saw Wake Forest do it. I'm sure, you know, not, again, no more victories and no excuses, because this is not a team, you know, like Coach Bowne used to say, anytime, anywhere, any team, any place. So you can't make excuses. But there was a hurricane this week, and a lot of the team's families live in Florida. So, like, you have to think that was a little bit of a distraction. In my personal opinion, and I don't know this to be true, so I don't want to make any assumptions, but you know, you went from winning eight games in the last 2 years to now you're 4-0, you're ranked, and you're having a lot of praise thrown your way. That can sometimes go to your head and take the chip off your shoulder. Now, I don't know that to be the case because they still played hard, but they came out flat and they just really didn't look too interested in being there in the first half. So it's a possibility, but you can also use this as fuel and motivation. And, like, I do think it's good that you get NC State next. Now, I don't like playing at Raleigh. I don't like going on the road. But, I don't know that you want to play Clemson right now. I think that you can go to Raleigh and you can upset NC State and you can get things back on track. So, it was just Florida State picked a really bad time to have a bad game. And that's really just what it came down to. Now, of course, I'm concerned about some things I saw. Like, I think the secondary did a little better than I thought. I mean, they really didn't, you know, pop a whole lot on you. And to be fair, some of the plays Wake Forest made were just ridiculous. I mean, you have to give them credit. Like, some of those passes, the DBs in position, they just make amazing plays. And it's like, man, 9 out of 10 times that goes the other way. And it just didn't. And, you know, how many times does that same play to Greedy Vance happen where the DB doesn't pick that off and take it for a pick six? It probably happens a majority of the time. And realistically, that's another thing about the talent level of this team and the fight that they have, that you could be down that many impact players. The fact that you could play that kind of sloppy of a game and have that many penalties and mental mistakes, and yet you're still probably about 4 plays, honestly. You're really about 4 plays from winning that game. If you make those 2 field goals, and if you don't get that holding call and you go in and get a touchdown there, tell me that Florida State's not going to score from the 4-yard line. I'm betting the farm that they would. And if Greedy Vance comes down with that pick or even knocks the ball down, chances are Florida State wins that game. And so, like, this team is good enough now to not even play their A game but still be in the game, because, you know, the last 2 years, you probably get blown out. You probably have a little bit of a give up and – everything comes off the rails. So this team is improving. They are getting better. You can see the trajectory. You can see the momentum. And it's just, unfortunately, along the ride, there's going to be some hiccups. And this was one of them. But you can still right the ship and you can still do a lot of things better. But there's going to be the honest conversation that we have to have. Again, I try and be positive, but I always tell you guys, I'm going to keep it real. Like, I'm not here to blow sunshine you know where. But there's going to be some limitations in some games based on the personnel that you have. You know, I don't think they wanted to have Darius Washington at tackle. I don't think they wanted Turnitine at tackle. I don't think they wanted for these young guys, for Malcolm Ray and for Joshua Farmer, to have more snaps than Fabian Lovett on the season. I don't think they planned on Patrick Payton having more snaps than Jared Verse. So that's really the thing, and that is the case right now. So, you know, you're going to have some limitations based on your personnel. And for me, the biggest concern I have over the next 2 weeks is the line of scrimmage, because that's not a battle I'm confident you can win. And I kind of predicted these next two games to be losses in the preseason because I didn't think you could block them. And I'm more concerned about that now because you're missing some of your pieces and because they struggled to block Wake Forest, who is a far inferior defensive line than what you're about to face. So, you know, those are concerns. And, of course, they can scheme around some things, you know, and they can do some things. You know, maybe now that they've seen how they handled Wake Forest's situation, you know, Atkins is a good coordinator, and Mike Norvell is a good head coach. So they can certainly do some things, but you're going to be limited by some of your personnel. And these guys, you know, like Turnitine, he can be a good player for you. There's a reason he wasn't a starter at South Carolina. He had some inconsistent games, and you know, that we saw one of them yesterday. So, you know, they have to get things cleaned up. But I guess the whole point, what I'm trying to make, is there's a good chance they lose the next 2 games. And there's also a good chance that they win them, too. Now, I don't want to sound like they're just going to go out there and get dominated. But you're probably only going to get Jared Verse back. It's probably not going to be Fabian Lovett. And it's probably not going to be Robert Scott playing in these next 2 games. And if that is the case, it's going to be one heck of a challenge. Let's just put it that way. But you can still win these games because of the way this team has played this year. But, you know, they can, even if they don't, you can still have a successful season for where they're at in the rebuild. And I think that's the most important message, is getting back to realistic expectations of knowing that What we're seeing is a better brand of football. What we're seeing is part of the roadmap to success. But there's still limitations on this roster. There are still mistakes that have to be cleaned up by the staff. There are still things that are happening that, you know, that are not championship level at Florida State. But if you can get to 8-4, you know, let's fast forward. Let's just say it's 2025 and you have Julian Armella at one tackle and blue chip Lucas Simmons at another tackle, and you have Hakeem Williams out wide, and you have Cam Davis, five-star running back in the backfield. Then okay, we expect some 10-win seasons. We expect you to beat teams like Wake Forest. But right now, you're kind of working with a patchwork roster at some very key positions. And that's going to hurt you in some games. So that's just, like I said, that's kind of your dose of reality right now, that you're having to sustain a successful season with some of the guys you didn't expect to be frontline players. And that's just my whole point of that. So, again, it's not a devastating loss. It's a disappointing loss. And I do think Florida State still has, like I said, a lot of games in front of them. But you can't give up 171 yards on the ground rushing to Wake Forest, which was something Boston College, they were averaging 48 yards rushing on the season. And realistically, like we talked about, I think it was like 16 yards a game against FBS teams. You gave up 90-something yards. So you're missing those defensive linemen, because right now with who you have in the game, you're getting ran all over by teams who don't normally run the ball. And you're not getting pressure, so they're able to throw it too. So, like, Florida State is essentially going to have to pick something that they want to defend and take a chance on something else. And, you know, they're going to have to do some things to probably get some pressure and to stop the run against, you know, maybe a run-first team, but it's going to make you vulnerable somewhere else. But I don't feel, you know, right now they're probably going to have to make that choice, because I don't feel like they're necessarily good enough up front to just let things go the way they are. But certainly if they get Jared Verse back, it's going to make an impact. Because like we said, you know, he led the team in pressures and played pretty much about the fewest snaps of anyone on the line of scrimmage. You know, he had the most pressures on the team in very limited capability. And you would hope that if you saw him back last week, that he'll be back, you know, in limited capacity, that he'll be back full-time this week, because it would be a huge boost for this defense, because he is a problem, and you have to watch out for him. You have to account for him. But, you know, we'll just, like I said, you couldn't play a bad game against Wake Forest. You couldn't play a sloppy game. We knew that, and they did. But everybody has those kind of games. And, you know, hopefully this was just Florida State's kind of mulligan, and they can get back right and move on next week and rebound and beat NC State. Because, you know, if you go up there and you get a win against a ranked NC State on the road, then you feel pretty good about where you're at. Like, I know it was disappointing to lose this one, but you still feel like, okay, well, now we have a top 25 win. We're kind of back on track. We had a bad game, but it is what it is. And so, you know, you get them this week. They're a top 15 team, number 14, NC State. And we'll just kind of bury Wake Forest there, guys. I mean, we'll just kind of leave it there. Like I said, it was a disappointing game against a good team, but Wake is a good team. You know, like I said, let's not act like they didn't win 11 games last year. Let's not act like they weren't the Atlantic Division champions last year. And you play in a tough division. You know, like I said, you put Florida State in the Coastal, and they're going to win. You know, Florida State would win the Coastal this year, and I'm confident in saying that. I mean, the one team that I thought might give them a problem would be Pitt. And they just lost to Georgia stinking Tech. So, you know, I think they would win the Coastal. You're in the SEC West right now of the ACC. And that's hard, because you can be a good team and just not be able to overcome some of the opponents on the schedule. But just looking forward, we'll just look forward a little bit to NC State here and just some of the immediate notes. You know, broad view, like I said, I'm going to get more into this coming up, but you do feel like this is, to me, in my opinion, other than being on the road, a little bit more winnable game. Now, their defense is going to be a bit of a problem, because you look at last week when Clemson played Wake Forest. Now, I know there was double overtime, but, you know, it's not like NFL where you got to cross the whole field, so the yards are kind of limited there, but they had 559 yards on Wake's defense last week, and you put up 150 less yards on Wake this week. Well, NC State held Clemson to 354 yards, so 200 yards less than what they were able to put up on Wake Forest. So it's going to be a challenge. And I don't think Clemson's offensive line is great, but neither is Florida State's. So you're going to have a hard time blocking those guys. Now, where you do have some opportunity is on defense, because their offense is not great. They only put up 280 yards, where you just saw Wake put up 450 on Clemson's defense. So, you know, and that's the thing. Again, you knew when you saw that game against Clemson, they put up over 400-something yards on their defense. And so you knew that it was going to be a challenge. But now you look at a team that plays a more traditional style of offense, and you don't have a powerful set of receivers. And Leary, he was a good quarterback last year, but, you know, he's not really been great this year. So, again, you have some opportunity there, but you're going to have to get pressure, because Clemson's defensive line, when they're at full strength, you know, they're a disruptive force. And so, I mean, I don't think they've been as good as people thought they were going to be, you know, but to be honest, I think Florida State's offensive line or defensive line we thought was going to be dominant in the beginning of the season. And of course, not having Fabian Lovett hurts, but you just haven't really seen them be as good as we thought. So you're going to have to find some ways to get pressure, but it's not like you have, again, Hartman was probably the best quarterback you were going to face. And given his ability to elevate those receivers' game, that's probably the best set of receivers you're going to face. So you feel a lot better about what your defense can accomplish coming up this week. And so it does give you an opportunity to win. Now, as I'm sure Mike Norvell in the back of his mind, you have a problem at kicker. And at some point, it's probably going to cost you a game. It very well could. Do I think it cost you Wake Forest? No. Do I think it influenced the outcome of that game? Of course it did. And so you have a team who's going to play some tough games that are going to be close, and you're going to need those points. And you're probably not going to get them. And, you know, I don't know what he's going to do about it. I don't know if he's going to give the walk-on a look. I understand that he likes to roll with his guys and he believes in them, and I'm okay with that. I mean, I'm a firm believer in that too, but at the end of the day, your job is to put your team in the best position to win. And right now, continuing to roll Fitzgerald out there, it's not putting your team in the best position to win. And yeah, you know, I made a joke the other day, like, if Lane, and I think this is what happened, but if Lane Kiffin can go find a kicker at a frat party or whatever, wherever it was, someone on Florida State's campus has got to be able to kick the ball. I mean, I remember a few years back, Florida had an open tryout for a kicker, I believe, because they had such a bad kicking problem. They had an open tryout, and then they found the guy who ended up being one of their best kickers. So, I mean, you got to do something. You know what I mean? You have to do something. But I really think your biggest challenge this week is going to be winning the line of scrimmage, winning in the trenches, because when you look at NC State, they had 34 yards of rushing on Clemson. So you obviously can bottle up their rushing attack. But I said the same thing about BC. I said the same thing about Wake Forest. And then they went up and basically put like season highs on you. So it's just, you know, you're limited, guys. I mean, there's no other way to say it. You're limited in the middle. But I still think that if they find a way to dial up pressure, because you still have good linebacker play, you still have good safeties, and you still feel pretty okay about some of your corners. I mean, you know, there's some challenges, and there's been some disappointing play from some guys, but you know, you still feel good about a lot of your guys here. You know, you still feel good about some of the guys in your secondary, and there is an opportunity to get a win here, because NC State has not been that impressive yet. And when you look at some of the teams they've played, you know, they haven't really played. I think their toughest game besides Clemson was Texas Tech before this, who, you know, I don't know how good they are. I mean, they beat Texas, but, you know, I mean, you can only compare so many games to figure out how good a team is. But, you know, it was a 10-point game on the road at Clemson, which is a really hard place to win. And again, Clemson apparently doesn't lose at home, because they just tied Florida State's streak for the home win record. So that's a hard place to win, and they still kept it within 10 points. So, I mean, it's not like this is going to be some kind of pushover game. I mean, NC State, they haven't been impressive this year, but they're another one of those teams that, like I talk about, they're in full stride as a program. They are at their peak. And I do think it is, you know, let's just say that Florida State loses the next two games, but it's close. Say, you know, you lose by less than two scores in each game. To me, it's disappointing, because you want to win and you see where Florida State can be when they're at 100% and playing their A game. But if you have three teams in a row that you know they are realistically the best team or the best point in their program history, and Florida State is still in a rebuild, and you're able to play really close against those teams, then you do feel better about the future when you have more depth and when you have more talent and when you have more experience like they have right now. So, it, you know, there's still some positives that can come out of this. And I don't, again, there is no such thing as a moral victory at Florida State. The standard is the standard. But it doesn't mean that everything is always black and white. There is context that can be put on some of these. And that's really all I'm trying to provide. Like I said, I'm not trying to be negative, but there are some problems right now for Florida State in these next few games. And that's just some things that we have to address, because it wouldn't be surprising if they lost the next two to me. It honestly wouldn't. But I also could see them bouncing back and winning the next two, because, like I said, we've seen high-level play from them. And this was an uncharacteristic game. But it's kind of, again, this all boils back to, for me, when I talked about in the offseason how I thought Mike Norvell's offense could still be good and they just hadn't hit their potential here, because over eight seasons, he had been very productive as a coordinator. And then over two seasons at Florida State, he has not performed well because of the pieces that he was limited by. Well, if Florida State has played four good games and one bad game, I'm going to err more towards the side of this was the outlier, not the other four games. They played great in those four games, and they deserve to be ranked, and they look like one of the best teams, you know, in top 25 teams in football. Not the best team, but one of the top 25 teams anyway. But, you know, that's the thing. If you played four good games and one bad game, this is probably your outlier. You picked a bad week to do it against a good team. So you can't do it again. Now, you definitely can't, because these next two teams, if you give them the opportunity, they're going to beat you. But Florida State can win these games. It's just going to be hard, because you're probably not going to have Fabian Lovett back, and you're probably not going to have Robert Scott back. But again, if you can get those guys back after the bye week going into Georgia Tech, regardless of what happens, you can still win eight games. You can still have a successful season, and you can still make a decent bowl game and tack on another win there. So to me, everything's still in front of them. They could certainly bounce back. This could have just, you know, this could be their mulligan. But, you know, when you're limited by some of your pieces, you do have to also kind of accept the reality that it could affect the outcome of the season, and it just, that's part of ball, you know? That's just, it's part of it. So, but overall, like I said, I'm still very bullish on this team. I'm very bullish on this program. I feel like they are headed in the right direction. They are so much better than they were before. And, you know, one of the things I said, I tweeted out was, I am much happier to be disappointed about a loss that makes us 4-1 than I am happy to get a win that makes us 1-4, which is exactly where we were last year. And if you can't see that as progress, I don't know what you're looking at, because we're in a much better situation. You know what I mean? I'm on this podcast talking about how I'm disappointed in a loss that makes us 4-1 against a top 25 team. I'm not on here talking about losing to an FCS team. I'm not on here talking about getting blown out by Wake Forest. I'm not, you know what I mean? Like, there's progress, and that's part of the process. So they just have to, like, all they can do now, the game's over. It's done. Like, you just got to learn from it, bury it, and move on to the next one. And I think that's what they're going to do. I think that, you know, you see a lot of teams that they lose kind of a heartbreaker game when they, you know, they thought they had a good opportunity to win, that it sparks them. They use it as fuel. And I do think that's what they're going to do, because you saw Jordan Travis say, I know I can be better. And this was a disappointment, because they know how good they can be. And I feel like they will rebound this week. Now, I don't know if that translates into a win. I'm going to have to go watch some more film on NC State and dig into some more stats. And that's why I'll be back with a game preview later this week, when I can make a more educated prediction on that. But again, they still have a lot of things in front of them, and they can still get better. They still will get better. They just need to get some of these pieces back. And, you know, the more these guys play, these younger guys who have been forced into these roles, they'll get better too as the season goes along. You just have a really tall mountain to climb right now in three top 25 teams in a row, which coincidentally goes right with when you lost some of your biggest impact players. So, you know, but it's not all bad. It's just one hiccup in the road on the way back to where you want to get. And you can certainly rebound from this and keep all your goals in front of you. So with that being said, we'll just kind of wrap it up here. I do appreciate you guys listening. Like I said, I encourage you to go join us on social media because I'm pretty active over there. And, you know, I would love for you guys to get in on the conversation and see some of the things that I put out pretty frequently over there. So thanks for listening. Thanks for your support. And we'll see you guys later this week with an NC State preview. So keep the faith. Keep supporting the Noles. They need us every chance they can get. You know, Clemson just got named as a nighttime game starting at 7:30. So, you know, in that game, you want every advantage you can get. And you're hoping that a packed Duke Campbell Stadium is one of those. So they need our support right now, and I do believe that they have earned it by going from 1-4 to 4-1. I think this team deserves our support, and yeah, I mean they can still do a lot of good. So don't sell your stock just yet. You know what I mean? Just hang on to it. Let's just see. Hopefully this is just a temporary dip, and they'll be back to business this week. But you know, like I said, guys, it's a tall task coming up, but this team is much better than what we've seen in the past. So. So we'll go ahead and we'll call it here. Again, I appreciate you guys listening. We'll catch you on the next one. Thanks for listening, and go Noles.